Good morning, guys. Welcome. My name is Humphreys, and I'll be bringing us the word today. But we have been doing this series that we have entitled Jesus Has a Say. Jesus Has a Say, because we trust that Jesus Christ matters in our lives. And if Jesus Christ matters in our lives, then we need to let him decide what is important in our lives. This is to say that, hey, if we love the name of Jesus, let us also love the ways of Jesus. If we love his name, let's love his ways. And today we're going to be talking about that Jesus has a say in our generosity. And we'll be reading from Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21. Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21. If you can, would you please stand as we read this passage together? Matthew 16. Matthew 6, verse 19. Thank you, Brian. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God, thank you for your word. And we pray, God, that you would speak to our lives this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. May you please have a seat. So I was born in this city, in Lilongwe. But there was a time in my life, probably I was 9 years old, when my dad sent me to our home village, which is up north in Mzimba. And he said, you have to go so you can learn about life. And I was like, yeah, sure. And I love, I'm going to see my granny, and it's going to be good to see people there. And I thought I'm just going to go for a short while. But actually ended up a couple of years there, life was actually crazy. It was hard. It was also fun. I had learned a few other things about farming, shepherding cows, sheep, and goats, and doing all kinds of things, hunting mice, and all sorts of good and fun stuff that boys love to do, and I enjoyed doing that. But also life was very, very hard. Food or money wasn't just coming easy. In a way, and nothing was really guaranteed. There was this tradition that was happening there. In fact, actually, the first day when I went to my home village, 9 years old, I get there, and they're so excited to see me, so they kill a chicken for me, and this is a big deal. You know, they killed a chicken for me. I was like, yes, this is going to be awesome, celebrating. And when food time came, the tradition was all the men would go and eat separately in one house. So they said, hey, you have to go and join these guys and enjoy your food there. But as I was going there, somebody else put me by the side and said, hey, I want to tell you there's a tradition within this place where the men eat. And the tradition is that because today we have nice food, we have chicken, you have to wait for the other person in the room to take their piece first before you take your chicken piece. I was like, all right, I know it was cute for me, but it's fine. You know, I'll let them have their fun. We could do that. So we go in and we are eating. So we're just sitting in a circle and all eating from one plate. This guy took his time to take this first piece of chicken, yeah? I was like, come on, I need to enjoy this meal. But he was testing my patience, which I'm not good at even now. And finally, you know, he took his piece, and I was like, yes, finally I can enjoy my chicken. But no, not so fast, because there is another tradition within this. The tradition is that when the older guy takes the piece of the meat, he can shout out a key word, and the key word is called chain. I don't even know why that, but when this guy shouts out chain, it means that everybody else can go into the plate and grab what they can in a go. Now, I had no idea about this, you know. So this guy takes up his piece and he says, chain. And then everybody else is, you know, rushing into the middle. And first of all, I'm wondering, like, why are you shouting? We're eating. Why are you shouting? And before I finished, I thought, all the seam is gone. All the meat is gone. Not even soup left. Like, these guys were quick, you know. I was like, what? And then everybody else is laughing at me because I'm not really getting what's going on. They said, yeah, this is how we do the tradition here. And I'm like, come on, I'm your visitor. You should treat me nicely here. And they said, no, as long as you're a man, you have to learn this. You have to know this. So I'm like, okay, maybe food is going to come from somewhere else. No, there was no food in that house. So I went back without really eating even my own meal. But my granny was very clever. She knew what was going to happen there. So she kept some food for me to enjoy. But in that moment, there was this unwritten rule. And the unwritten rule was, what you have right now is not guaranteed tomorrow. So take as much as you can for yourself. What you have right now is not guaranteed the next day. So take as much as you can for yourself. And now you can look back and be like, what a horrible tradition. You know, but actually, this is how we live life. This is how we live life. Like, we come and look for stuff in our lives. We go and search for things, whether money or whatever it is, we are looking. And when we find it, the same rule. This is not guaranteed that you're going to find it the next day. So take as much as you can for yourself, because there's no guarantees. And we can live like that. And this is the very issue that Jesus Christ is addressing in this passage. So he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moths and vermin can destroy, or thieves can come and steal, but store up treasures in heaven, where nothing can destroy it and nobody can steal it. So here's the question for you. How many of us feel like our generosity needs some work? How many of us feel like, I got to do a bit better? Yeah? Almost everybody. How many of us say, no, I'm actually a very generous person. I do this well. None. And that's what happens, right? Like, we approach generosity either from a place of guilt or from a place of apathy. And we, in this moment where we're like, hey, I don't do this well, and I could do better. And in fact, even when in the moments that we've been generous, sometimes can be that we've been motivated by guilt. That we're feeling this guilt, and therefore we give or we do that. And unfortunately, us preachers have done a disservice as well. Like, we power that guilt on people so that they can give out of it. But that's not how Jesus does it. Or we can also approach generosity from a place of apathy, where you're not even willing to engage, and you're not willing to be concerned really and feel the pain, the suffering that's around you. And that can be for a couple reasons. The first reason could be because we are overwhelmed. Because we are overwhelmed of the need around us. If you are in this space, you see need right, left, and center. And it's just like there in your face. And we can be so overwhelmed and feel like, you know what? Even our very little help is so little that just like a drop in the ocean that cannot really do anything. So I might as well not really bother. Or some of us have actually been generous, but then we got bent. Or somebody else took advantage of our generosity. And you're like, you see now, every time I will be generous, somebody else takes advantage of that. And therefore, why bother? Why should I bother? And we can approach it that way. Or another reason could be like, you know what? I don't have enough. I really don't have enough to reach to everybody, to be generous to everybody. Another reason could be, I too have needs. I also have my own needs. So should I really be concerned of other people's needs? Because I have my own stuff to sort out. And all of these things are actually looking at the need versus the treasure. The need versus what you have. And you are like, either I don't have enough, or I have my own stuff that I need to sort out using this treasure, using what I have. But Jesus Christ in this passage is saying, actually, our problem is not really to do with lack of treasures, but our problem is really to do with where we place our treasures and where we are leading our hearts to. Where you place your treasures and where you're leading your heart to. So it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on the earth. Do not store up for yourself treasures on the earth. Now, there will be some of us that will say, I don't have treasures. That person has treasures, but I don't have treasures. But this passage says, in other words, Jesus Christ says, Every single one of us has treasures. Every single one of us. So he says, do not store up treasures on the earth. He's not speaking to only the rich people, because he was speaking to thousands of people when he was doing this. This is called a Sermon on the Mount. So he's actually speaking to thousands and thousands of people. So every single one of us, or every single person that was hearing him say, do not store up for yourself treasures on the earth, was this word was going to every single person. Do not store up treasures on the earth for yourself. So he debunks the myth that we don't have treasures. Every single one of us has treasures. And the only reason why probably we see that we don't have is because we look at generosity only from a place of finances, from a place of money. That's it. Or because I don't have enough money, therefore I cannot be generous. No, that is actually a myth, because Christ says you have treasures. So you are so rich. You are so rich with better words. So be generous with your words. Be generous with your words. Especially in that moment when you've been hurt and the ungenerous word can come out, the unkind word can come out. Be generous with your words, because you have that treasure of words in you. And the idea here is, if people would have conversation with you, if anybody else would have a conversation with you, would they come out of your presence uplifted or demotivated? Would they come out of your presence encouraged or not? And the difference there would be, how generous have you been with your words? Be generous with your words. Even if you know the bad side or the bad story that this person is holding, but when you're talking about them to someone else, be generous with your words. Be generous with your words. Be generous with your emotions, because you have treasures of emotions. That's why the Bible says, mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. Be generous. Be generous with your emotions. Be generous with your resources, what you have, the stuff that God has given you. Be generous with those things. The treasure of ideas that God has put in your life. Be generous with those. Are you the kind of person who loves to share what they are learning? Or the kind of person who loves to hide what they are learning so that they are seen as the one who knows better than anybody else? Be generous. Share them. Share what you're learning. Share your knowledge. You have the treasure of compassion in you. Be generous with your compassion in the way that you love other people. You have the treasure of forgiveness. Be generous with your forgiveness. You have the treasure of prayers. Be generous with your prayers, so that you're not only just praying for yourself, but you can be generous with your prayer and pray for those around you. Pray for other people. Pray for those in need. Pray for those that are sick. Be generous with your time. That you can give your time to someone else, so you can be generous there. Be generous with your presence. Be generous with your presence. You know, when people are going through a rough time, maybe they don't really need wise words from you. All they need is just your presence. And you can be so generous with your presence in your home. You can be so generous with your presence. So do not store up treasures for yourself on the earth. What does that mean? When we withhold the generosity that we can offer, we are storing up treasures for ourselves on the earth. But when we let go, when we give it away, then we are storing up treasures in heaven where it can never be destroyed. And we do this by just loving on people, being generous to those that are around us. So why should you be generous? I want to just pull out 7 reasons why you should be generous from this passage. Number one, generosity addresses our fears. Generosity addresses our fears. The Bible here says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth can destroy and thieves can come and take it away. The reason why you would keep something for yourself is because you have a fear. You know, you have a fear of losing it, or you have a fear of not having enough, or you have a fear of people taking advantage of you. You have all of these fears. But when you are a generous person, generosity will address that. How? Because when you are being generous, you're storing up those treasures in a place where you can never have fear of losing it. When you're generous, you're storing up treasures in a place where you cannot even have to worry of not having enough. You're storing up treasures in a place where you don't even have to worry about someone taking advantage of you. So be generous, because this is going to address all of your fears. The reason why, whatever reason you have that you're withholding what you have, you don't have to fear anymore. You can let it go. You can give it away, because then you are investing in a better place that you don't have to even fear anything. So generosity is going to address all of these big fears that we have. Number two, through generosity, we value what God values. Through generosity, we value what God values. Because God values people, when we are being generous to people, we are saying, God, because you value them, I value them too. God, because you value my neighbors, I value them too. God, because you value my family, I value them too. So when we are giving, when we are being generous, either with our words, time, resources, money, whatever it is, to the people around us, we are saying, I value what God values. Number three, through generosity, we remind ourselves of what truly matters. What truly matters? Because it's easy to see the stuff that we have as the ones that matter, either because they give us a sense of power, or they give us a sense of entitlement, or whatever it is, or maybe status. But no, what really matters is the souls around you, because God says they matter, and you have to see them as though they matter, because there, when you keep for yourself treasures on the earth, it's either going to be eaten or it's going to be taken. That's what this passage is saying in there. It's going to be eaten or taken. If you don't eat it, somebody else will, yeah? Even after you're gone, they will enjoy that thing. They will eat it. Or you might be taken. Somebody else comes and steals it away from you. So then, invest in what matters, and that is in people. Through generosity, we are also reminded of what lasts. Of what lasts. It's amazing how your investment on the earth turns out to be in heaven. Because he's not saying like, okay, now I want to tell you this secret place called heaven. So everybody, you need to take to go on this bus and then go and dump all of your treasures in this place called heaven. No. It's when I am investing in people, when I'm being generous in people, then I'm investing in the kingdom of heaven. That's what I am doing. So therefore, it's going to last for a long time. And in fact, the soul that you're investing in, you're going to live with that soul for eternity. So you might as well be okay with living with them in a better space now and being generous towards them right now. Number five, through generosity, we put God on display for others to see him clearly. We put God on display for others to see him clearly. Paul loved to say, and they praise God because of me. And they praise God because of me. And what that means is that there are people that will praise God through your generosity. There are other people that probably will never know anything about Jesus until when you reach out to them with your generosity. So they'll be wondering, why did he speak to me that kindly? Why did she offer her time to me generously? Why did she go out of her way? You know, this is a nurse. I mean, she can do her job, but actually she went out of her way and be like, hey, just tell me how you're doing. How's your family? And, oh, this is a teacher, but actually they went out of their way and be like, hey, I remember the other time you mentioned about your cousin. How are they doing? They're being generous with their time, with their listening. They want to be there. And it could be just in that moment to be like, there is something else different about this person. And they can see the name of God on display in your life. So some of you, if not all of us, we might just be God's plan A to display that God is good through our generosity. So let's be generous. Number six, generosity is a way of expressing gratitude to God. Because God has given us what he has given us, the gifts, the talent, the resources that God has given us, the time. And therefore, we express our gratification where we say, thank you, God, for what you gave me. And therefore, I will actually bless other people with what you have given me. And lastly, generosity is a way of expecting from God. Generosity is a way of expecting from God. Because when you give something away, what you are saying in that moment is that, God, I now trust you for my provision. because I've given it away. I now trust you for my provision for tomorrow because I've given it away. I don't know how I will look like tomorrow, but today I'm being generous with this, and therefore I trust you, and therefore you're saying I'm expecting to receive from God. I'm expecting to receive from God. Now, let me just talk to us about practical ways that we can be generous. Number one, generosity has to start with us being generous with our hearts. And by that, I mean, let's be generous by entrusting our hearts to Jesus. So you give all of you to Jesus. That's the ultimate generosity, where you say, you know what? Have it all, Jesus. Have it all, God. Have it all. Because what you're saying there is that I want something else to have mastery over me. Because what you treasure will have power over you. And what has power over you becomes what you worship. What you treasure has mastery over you. And what has mastery over you becomes what you worship. So you need to be at a place where you can say, Jesus Christ, I want to see you as my ultimate treasure. As my ultimate treasure. Because I want you to become the only one that I worship. The only one that matters the most in my life. Because that passage says that where your treasure is, so your heart will be also. And we often think it's the other way around, right? We think like, no, where I take my heart to, that's where my treasure will go. But no, that's not what it is. Your heart is easily tricked. Your heart is easily motivated by stuff. So he says, here's the treasure. Put your treasure in the right place, and then your heart is going to follow. It's going to follow your treasure. That's what happens. So what if you treasure Jesus? Your heart will follow Jesus because you treasure him. He's your ultimate treasure because where your treasure is, your heart will go there. So would you make Jesus Christ as your ultimate treasure, that nothing else matters in my life, but Jesus Christ matters the most in my life. Therefore, I will have him decide what is most important in my life. I will have him show me what is most important in my life because he is my ultimate treasure. And you do that when you entrust your heart to God. When you give your heart to God. Because when you do that, your heart will be safe with him and you'll be safe with him. So that's the first practical thing that you can do. The second practical thing that I have found helpful is pre-planned generosity. Now, I've been finding this helpful because I'm a kind of person that can act on a hunch. So, like, I see something and I'm like, oh, yeah, let's get that, you know. Oh, here's good bananas, let's get that. Oh, here's Maryland chicken. Hey, let's go eat some chicken. Oh, here is this, let's go that, you know. So I can easily act on a hunch. And the same can happen with generosity as well for me. Now, if you are alone, maybe you're okay in terms of, but if the money that, let's say if it's money, if the money that you had in that moment, you've given it away, and your landlord is asking, hey, where is my rentals? And you're like, oh, I just gave it away, you know? And then I was getting in trouble, right? And that can happen. And maybe you have family, and then you give your 1,000 kwacha, and you're supposed to buy that, you're supposed to buy bread with that, and your kids are starving at home because you were generous. Somewhere else. So what I found helpful is pre-planned generosity. With this is you put generosity in your budget, and this is more to do with finances, by the way, or anything else that you can have as a resource thing. Mainly, I do this with money. Like I put generosity in my budget, so I can decide on an amount that I will give that month, and I'll say I don't know who I will give this money to. I don't know who will come and will need this money, but I planned on it. So now, when somebody with a need comes from, which happens every month for me, is now I can say, oh yeah, I've already planned for this, so I'll just take wherever it is, and I can give it to them. In that moment, I don't even have to wrestle with, do I give, or do I, you know, I don't have to wrestle with that because I've already done. How much do I give? I don't have to wrestle with that. I've already done that wrestling before the problem came. So I have it, and it's very helpful. And for couples, okay, this is a really nice tip for you guys to consider, because if one goes and they give some money somewhere and you are planning on it, Oh, it's going to be trouble. So this is going to be helpful if you guys decide as a couple to be to pre-plan for your generosity. So if it's helpful for you, you can take that. This is just a practical tip. It's not truth for everybody, but this can be helpful for you. The second helpful thing that I found helpful is cause-focused generosity. This is when you decide that there's a cause that I will be generous towards. It could be with your time, money, or everything else. And this is really good, most especially when you're seeing that this cause is making a difference in our community, is making a difference in the city. You'd be like, you know what, I'll partner with those guys as they're being generous. I found this helpful because when I was in college, what I used to do is when I get my money, because I've been working for this church for now 12 and a half years. So I was in college, I was working here, and whenever I get money, sometimes I would go to the bank, exchange it into small banknotes, like 100 kwachas and stuff, and then I'd go in town with a little bunch of cash and be distributing the money, most especially to the street kids, you know, like giving my kwachas out, like, you know, doing weddings, like you perikani. But you know, I would go and do that, and then after that, I'm feeling good about myself. Yeah, I've been generous, this is so good. Until one day, in this church, actually, we had partnered with an organization that was rescuing kids from the street, and they would bring them in a home, and if they don't have anybody else to go to, anywhere else to go to, and they would send them to school and give them a nice place. So we went to, I think, to do some painting there with these guys, and when we were there, I was talking to the guy that was leading the organization. So I'm like, oh, what you're doing is amazing. And then I'm like, hey, I also do this thing every month when I'm, you know, I go into the city and give cash to kids. And he looked me in the eye and said, you are making my work hard. I was like, what? What do you mean? Like, I'm doing a really good thing here. He says, no, you are making my work hard. Because what happens is I bring kids in their home or take them to their houses, reconnect them into the community, sending them to school. But then they're going back into the streets because when they're in school, nobody's giving them money. When they're at home, we're making sure they have food and they have all they need. But they're not getting the money. On the street, they can go there and there'll be people like you that give them money. So what they're ending up doing is they're running away from our homes and going and meeting you guys out there. So he says, you're making it so, so hard. I never saw it that way in that moment. I was like, oh, yeah. And sure enough, what happened is when the next day I found myself at ShopRite at 7 p.m. and one of the kids that we met in this home was actually there begging. And I was like, did I not see you yesterday? And he ran off. But the reason why you can have a cause-focused generosity is because you want your generosity to be helpful and not hurtful. Because your help can be hurtful as well if you're not careful. So can we have a kind of generosity that's more helpful rather than hurtful? And now the decision was, it's best I support them because they're doing a better work than me who just goes once a month with my 100 kwacha and then I feel good about myself. This guy is day in, day out on the street and doing good work. And in fact, we celebrate here, we have Peter and Chisomo who do like street kids. Yeah, Peter, do you understand, dude? This is Peter. Peter does a fantastic work with street kids every single week. 3 days a week, they're in there talking to kids. There was one day I went to visit Peter at his home, and he was not there because some kid, something had happened. I had to rush into town to rescue this kid. He's in a hospital with the kids and taking care of them. Thank you for what you're doing. So you can support Peter with what he's doing with the street kids. But there's so many causes around that are doing some good work, helpful work. You can support and be a part of that. And lastly, be generous starting with those that are close to you. Be generous starting with those that are close to you. It's very saddening when you have people that are a better person elsewhere than they are at home. It's very, very saddening. If you're a part of this church and you take your money and give to the church, but you're not feeding your kids or the people at home, don't give your money here. Go feed the ones you have at home. That's a better form of generosity. Be a better person at home. Do not be a better person in your workplace. Everybody praising you for how good and better you are there, but you're a horrible human being at home. I want to tell you, you're not winning. You're not. Win at home first, even if you lose somewhere else. But win in the people that are close to you. Be a better human being to those that are around you, because then you're investing in what that truly matters. Because when you're better with those that are around you, you'll be better with those that are far from you. So let it start with those that are close to you. Your presence matters to your family. Your presence matters to the people around you. Your words. I'm very saddened that often we don't value the feelings of kids, and that we can just say whatever we want to say about them in front of visitors, and therefore leaving them embarrassed and stuff like that. We have to be better. We have to do well. We can be generous in our places. We can be generous to those that are close to us, because Jesus calls us that way. Amen. Would you please close your eyes? Now, as we're talking about generosity, you could be in a place where you're feeling like, I'm not good at this thing at all. I don't do it well. But I want to point you to the one who does it very well, and that's Jesus. Jesus Christ is such a generous Lord that he's generous even to those that did not deserve his generosity. He's so generous to his enemies. He's so generous to those that were scorning and shaming him. He's so generous to people that in that moment did not deserve the generosity of his forgiveness, the generosity of his death. But he did it anyway. And he has done that for you. So if you're feeling guilt, feeling like I'm not doing this well, may you tap into the generosity of Jesus now, that he has so much forgiveness for you. Therefore, you don't have to strive to earn the salvation that he has for you. You can just come to him and say, Jesus, I come to you right now. Help me. Help me. And if you find yourself in a place of apathy, where you're not unwilling to engage, either because the need is so big, or maybe you're feeling overwhelmed with the need, and you're feeling like, my help cannot be enough, I want to invite you to follow Jesus, to come to Jesus, who gives even to those that do not deserve, even to those that do not deserve. God, we come to you right now. We come to you, for you are our generous Lord. And you've been so generous towards us. You've been so helpful towards us. And you offer your presence over and over again. God, we come to you and we pray that first of all, may you forgive us. But also, God, may we celebrate the forgiveness and the gift that you give us, that we don't have to earn our generosity. You have already been generous to us, so thank you, God. And therefore, we can be generous, not as a way of wanting to earn salvation, but as a way of celebrating what you have given us. So we thank you, and help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.